Welcome to Tastes of the Tropics. And now, here are your hosts, Gretchen Schmidt and Christina Favretto.
Welcome to Taste of the Tropics. This is Gretchen Schmidt with Edible South Florida, and I'm here with Christina Favretto.
Hello, everybody.
And Seth Gonzalez, a.k.a. Burger Beast. We're here at the Burger Museum at Magic City Casino, 2 miles from Miami International Airport. Seth, for those who don't know who the Burger Beast is, tell us about yourself.
Well, the Burger Beast is me. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. I originally started writing a blog 9 years ago about burgers. It kind of grew into comfort food and history, and then it became a thing all about history in South Florida and food. And from there, all of a sudden, now I have a museum covering the same topics. So,
and lest you think that this is just somebody's backyard or, you know, garage museum, this is a very serious, how many things did you say you had here?
Well, when we opened 5 months ago, we had about 2,000 pieces. Now we're well over 3,500 pieces. And there's probably close to another 600-700 that aren't on display right now.
Okay, so things to come. But when let's give our listeners a visual. You walk in, there's lots of color, lots of objects from different time periods. And to greet you, a very large portrait of Alice Cooper sitting in a pile of White Castle takeout containers, looking very Alice Cooperian. So what's he doing? Why is he your greeter?
I would say that he's sitting in a throne of White Castle boxes.
Mm-hmm, gotcha. Yeah, that's more like it.
That's actually when he was inducted into White Castle's Hall of Fame, which is called the Craver Hall of Fame. And they actually snapped that shot. And that actually picture was donated by White Castle Corporation here to the museum.
Okay. He looks like he's just eaten about 20 or 30 White Castle burgers because he's looking kind of full.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt those bags are his. Yeah, all the bags in the front there.
Well, take us through the museum. We're going to take a walk through this museum here. We're going to bypass, okay, you can get soda and you can get chips, and we're going to walk past that right
vintage
now.
Vintage sodas.
Vintage sodas, that's it. No, Soda that's Boy, Caramel Cream, Frosty Root Beer, Dog and Suds Root Beer. So these are all nice icy cold things that we can all sample at the end. Our first stop at the Burger Museum is the displays about the frita. Now, here in South Florida, we know all about fritas. Tell everybody who doesn't know about fritas.
Yeah, the frita cubana, as what its official title, was street food in Cuba. It started around the 1930s. It made its way to Miami in the early 60s. And it could probably best be described as a burger meets a chorizo. It's probably the flavor profile. If you're into both of those items, I think you would love it. Comes on a bun, house-made julienne potatoes, onions, and some sort of tomato or ketchup sauce.
Now, is this going to be the kind of thing where people start calling us saying, really, they're from Argentina? No, they're from Peru. So how many countries are making fritas, or is it just Cuba?
Frita was really just an exclusive Cuba thing. They were served out of like fuel carts, kind of like a hot dog cart.
Okay.
And they were kind of meant, they weren't sold really during the day. It was kind of an after hours thing. When you left a movie, a theater, a party, they'd be out on the streets. You just grab a frita and went. Yep. Just ate it to go. Kind of like you would do a hot dog on the streets of New York.
They're pretty tasty. And Gretchen, do we want to mention the numero uno?
Well,
el jefe of the fritas.
We know there's a lot, but tell us some of the there's a little family frita situation here in South Florida.
Right. In 1976, Rey de las Fritas opened its door in Little Havana. And by the early 80s, as they were expanding, they brought down Benito, who's the founder of Rey, brought down his brother-in-law, Otelio, to come work with him. They had some sort of family squabble. It's not very well documented, or maybe I do know, and I don't want to say what it is. And a few years later, Mago broke off. So while Benito was El Rey, which means the king, Ortelio opened his restaurant and called it Mago, the magician. And they're still both going strong. Mago is still alive now. Benito passed away a few years ago.
And we remember when President Obama came to town, he made his way to the little modest Mago de la. It's not big, not so many seats there, but there he was with the whole entourage.
Yeah, and it's a very old school. If you're into diners, it's got a counter seating. You can sit and watch him work his magic right there in front of you. Or if you can, you want to grab a table, you can grab a table.
Now we turn here to some old vintage pictures here, black and white, Royal Castle. And there's a display case that has everything from cups, paper cups, plastic cups, old napkin dispensers.
Trays, menus, little tiny fake square, White Castle burgers.
Now we have in Royal Castle, what's the status? Once upon a time when I was growing up in South Florida, I remember Royal Castle was a place to go, and there were a number of locations.
Well, these all stem from White Castle. White Castle opened in Wichita, Kansas in 1921, and a lot of people copied what they were doing. The, you know, very clean look. Everyone who worked inside worked dressed in white. The smash burgers cooked with steamed onions. And as you'll see, Royal Castle opened in 1938 by someone who used to live in Ohio, where there was plenty of White Castles. Royal Castle, which was based out of Miami, had over 200 locations, Florida, Louisiana, Georgia, and Ohio. To this day, right now, there's only one Royal Castle left, unfortunately. White Castle still exists. It's still kind of a regional thing, still family owned, but Royal Castle, unfortunately, is just down to one location.
It's hangover food, actually. Yeah, I lived in Massachusetts for a long time, and it's a time-honored tradition. You go out when the bars close, you go have some White Castle, and that'll really do a body good.
They were sort of the original sliders in a way, weren't they?
Sure.
Because
they were,
you bought
a
bag full of them, right?
Yeah, that was kind of like their catchphrase. And if you see the original one, this is the original building. Well, there were 5 cents. Now, if you notice, I said this is the first one, and if you notice, it's actually numbered number 4. And that's because one of the founders owned 3 burger stands, and so they numbered the first White Castle 4 because he owned 3 others that were not associated with this.
Oh, it's like a Chanel number 5 situation, you know.
So if you ever see the one that says White Castle number 4, that's actually the original White Castle.
All right.
Huh. And what about Crystal? We see a beautiful white with a little kind of gingham-y trim on it. This is the uniform of a Crystal waitress, I guess, right?
Right. That was a Crystal waitress. Again, Crystal was kind of an offshoot of White Castle, very similar style. They do the little steam burgers. And whereas White Castle is more northern, Crystal is more the southern version of White Castle.
Okay. Now we're moving along here, continuing with our royalty theme here, and we see Burger Kings and big boys, and we see a lot of toys here.
There are no dukes or earls.
Well, Big Boy, you know, started in Glendale, California. My grandmother actually lived there, so when I was very young, she took me to eat at Big Boy, so I was always well aware of it. I think nationwide, people probably kind of found out about Big Boy probably during the Austin Power movies, because I think Dr. Evil, I think, was flying inside of one of them or something like that.
Right.
Bob's Big Boy is the original. Then eventually they started licensing the name. So if you take a look over here, and you'll see a lot of the matchbooks, you'll see like Frisch, and you'll see Manners, and you'll see different names, because they would license the Big Boy name, but not the Bob's portion of the name. So that's how those differences exist, and Frisch still exists. I was just at a Frisch recently in Cincinnati, which is where their headquarters is.
There are a bunch of Big Boy dolls that people can take a look at. Big Boy always wearing his checkered overalls, red and white checkered, and looking very happy, you know,
now,
and very full
of burgers. But now here's somebody with the same trademark little thing in his head, but this is a redhead. Who is it?
Okay, so the top shelf here are people who were copying Big Boy. So if you kind of see, they're all like running, carrying the bun, Lucians. You'll see Alfie's Just Right, High Boy. And it's just like a very...
Knock-offs.
Yeah.
No, they have no shame, these people. I tell you.
Original even, Buddy Boy.
There
you know?
A Buddy Boy.
Now, back here in the corner here, we see some very special and timely prizes here. Star Wars characters. Tell us a little bit about these.
Yeah, when Star Wars first came out, eventually it became a giant... you know, machine of toys and merchandise. But Burger King sold, they had a set of 4 glasses that came out when the film initially came out, and then in 80 when Empire Strikes Back came out, and then in 83 when Return of the Jedi came out. So this is a set of the glasses from Return of the Jedi. And actually, those glasses My cousin gave me those glasses. They're actually his glasses from when he was a kid from 1983.
Is he going to want them back?
No, I don't think so.
And where can you find those? Or can you find them?
You can find them. I mean, those were probably made in the millions, I can imagine. So okay. I'm sure if you go to thrift stores, you'll find them. I'm sure you could go on eBay and find them.
Okay. And is that where you found a lot of, like, how did you accumulate all these things?
Multiple ways. You know, mostly thrift stores, antique shops. Now a lot of people are starting to donate things. Like this giant case right here, everything here was donated by someone from California.
And this is contains some chicken tenders, little toys with fries, fake fries, yeah, and so, onion rings and
so
stuff.
So Susan donated. This is her entire collection. She used to work in Burger King. That's actually a picture of her on the right there, and her outfit.
Uh-huh.
Her uniforms are on the bottom. Wow. And I told her she told me about her collection. She said her kids would, you know, we're pretty much going to throw it out. I think that's what everyone thinks about everything they collect. You know, our kids are going to get rid of it. So she kind of said, you know, I'd like for it to have a home where it's going to actually be seen.
So does she have a lifetime membership?
Yeah, well,
museum?
She lives in California. Sure, if she comes over here.
I think Susan needs to come and visit. She'd have fun.
Now, here's a chain that we still have today, Wendy's. Tell us about that. And there's the famous Where's the Beef poster.
Sure. Wendy's was founded in 1969 in Columbus, Ohio. This is actually the original building here. It's no longer around. And probably his most famous ad campaign was Where's the Beef, which you can see the poster right here with Clara Peller. I mean, that was a gigantic sensation. Anyone who remembers it, you probably couldn't escape that term. And yep. To this day, you can't escape that term.
No,
it's everywhere.
Still, people still say it. And they get it, too.
A brilliant piece of marketing.
Yeah, I mean, even this table here, this is the 1970s through the 90s. They used these tables at all the Wendy's locations, and we even have the old salad bar sign that hung us up.
I don't see the sneeze guard.
The table that you're pointing to is covered in, it's very 70s style, in pseudo-vintage reproductions of newspaper articles that look like they're from the early 1900s. It's a nice little vintage. I remember those tables.
What I really like about this museum is that no item is too small or, what's the word, ephemeral?
Humble.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, matchbook covers, sugar packets with branding on it. But look here, styrofoam Filet-O-Fish, ooh, McChicken sandwiches, chicken McNuggets. How about that styrofoam?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be there forever. probably the most, you know, when I tell people we have the museum, one of the things I always get asked is, do you have the McDLT styrofoam? And yes, we do. As you can see, it's right here in front of us.
I have to interrupt. People ask you that question?
Yes, believe
it or
not.
That's a level of fandom.
But remind us what that stood for.
Well, the McDLT was the sandwich that I want to say it was kind of like the late 80s. They were testing. It's a giant clamshell. And then half the whole thing was you keep the hot side hot, the cold side cold. Had the bottom bun with the burger, the cheese. This had the lettuce, tomato, onion. So you would open it and put it together.
Understood. What about that golden? Now I see a large rectangular golden arches sign that what looks like having an arrow going through it, but it's very unusual. It's not what we would think of as a McDonald's sign.
Right. That's the logo for McDonald's in the 60s and early 70s. Just like actually this sign, this uniform, I'm sorry, I didn't mention to you, this is actually on loan from the McDonald's Corporation. This is a 1950s McDonald's uniform with paper hat and bolo tie.
That's right, the little bolo, and it has the old little burger icon.
If you recently, you're right, that's Speedy, which was their pre-Ronald McDonald character. If you saw the movie The Founder, you'll see everyone dressed in those kind of, just like that.
It's unlike you from Netflix. So they are dressed like that. So you vetted it for accuracy. Yeah. Have the McDonald's people come to visit the museum?
Yeah. I have a lot of the franchisees come by here. Okay. A couple of these two Ronalds are actually on loan from local franchisees. They were a couple of them were just here on Saturday, actually.
And they're not at all creepy, huh?
Not even a tiny bit.
No, the creepy is the old Hamburglar right over here.
Let's see. Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you want me to say the word that comes to mind, which is kind of like rapey, but I mean, that's...
Yeah. He's got like an evil face to him, doesn't he?
And what is he holding on to and patting? Oh,
he's hiding
I see
a
what
burger.
He's doing. He's opening up his raincoat. Gosh, who does that?
That's a stereotype.
Well, you had the Hamburglar, didn't you, when you had a...
When we had the grand opening party here, we had the Hamburglar here, yes.
But was much more benevolent looking.
Yeah, yeah, the new, the late 80s version of him.
Now, you don't just have burgers here. You've also got some chicken stuff here in your little chicken coop area.
Right. We had a chicken coop built, and it houses anything that to do with fried chicken. So there's a bunch of KFC stuff here. You see Popeye's, Chicken Delight, Chicken in the Rough.
Yogi Bear's.
Yogi Bear's Honey Fried Chicken. It was a chain. There's actually one left still. You can actually visit it. Huh? I was planning to go this year. I didn't make it, unfortunately.
Where's it at?
I believe it's in South Carolina.
So you're really moving on to all the meats, really.
It's funny you say all the meats because that's kind of like Arby's catchphrase, and we're right next to Arby's.
Okay, there's the
Arby's. There's Arby's, but here we go. We've got Godfather's Pizza. We've got Dairy Queen, Tasty Freeze, Icy's, roast beef. So these are a lot of the...
Right, there's some ice cream stuff. There's some roast beef stuff. There's some pizza stuff. I have the Chuck E. Cheese. In particular, what I really love about the Chuck E. Cheese is that we have a Chuck E. Cheese ashtray, which, of course, we know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist.
What's special here is that you've got a little metallic ice cream bar, Borden's ice cream bar, 10 cents. Now, where did you find something like that?
I actually found that at an antique shop in northern Florida. I don't remember the name of the city right now.
And I guess I should mention that elsewhere you've got actual, like, takeout bags and kind of grease-stained. Like, who saves this stuff, right?
Oh, there's something for everyone, Gretchen.
And there's also this, which you maybe have looked. KFC actually tried expanding into the Kentucky roast beef and Kentucky chicken. They only had about 100 of those. But that we have the actual blueprints to build. If you really wanted to build one, I could loan you my blueprints if you want to build a replica.
I have to tell you that I'm fascinated by this object on one of your shelves. It's these adorable two salt and pepper shakers, but they're basically, they're salty and peppy, but counterintuitively, they are ice cream cones,
yeah,
right?
You don't put salt on your ice cream.
But, you know, it must have worked for
somebody. Well, you know, the salty caramel today. Yeah, they were ahead of their time, I guess.
Well, that's Tasty Freeze's characters. You see it says their name on there. It says TNF. We actually some more Tasty Freeze stuff around the corner, too.
So there's probably somewhere someone's doing a Tasty Freeze museum, maybe.
Well, there is. Tasty Freeze is still around, though.
It is.
Yeah. Now, Krispy Kreme donuts. We haven't talked about donuts. And donuts are making a big comeback right now.
Especially down here in South Florida. Velvet Cream, which we have some older Velvet Cream, which is a very local, opened here in Miami in 1947. It was originally a Krispy Kreme, actually. But, you know, the Hot and Now sign from Krispy Kreme, who doesn't know about that?
That's right.
Well, everyone who needs to, I think, does.
Yeah, and you even have newsletters.
There's a lot of company newsletters.
A Dog and Suds 1972
Dog
convention.
And Suds, I remember growing up in suburban Chicago, and I believe it still exists. The last time I was up there, I saw it, and it brought me back to my childhood. I mean, I hadn't thought about that in many, many years.
Yeah, it's an interesting name.
Dog and Suds.
Yeah, some
root beer, hot dog and root beer.
I just thought it was giving the dog a bath.
Well, but you know what? It brings to mind, I think, what you've tapped into here is that somebody will see something that brings them back to their childhood. And I think that's what this is all about. No matter what age you are, I mean, you're a relatively young guy, certainly a lot younger than I am here. But you've managed to collect things for people older than I am. I mean, you've gone pretty far back here, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I remember my grandparents, family friends talking to me about some of these restaurants that I never went to. I never really went to Royal Castle back in the day. But, you know, I'll tell you, that's like one of my favorite things to find, Royal Castle stuff. Mm-hmm. And even stuff over here, like you see the Woolworth and Walgreens.
Let's take a look over here, because here's something I like. You have some Walgreens cookbooks. You have some circular menus. Things from different time periods, very vintagey.
Now here I see something very interesting. Denny's. Tell us the story here, because we have two plates here. One says Denny's on it. We know Denny's. And the other one says Denny's, but then there's an A, so it also says Danny's. What's up with that?
What used to be called Danny's Donuts when it first opened. And eventually at some point it switched over to Denny's. So that plate was during the conversion. I've only run across one of these plates. As you can see, I have another plate that looks similar, but it just says only Denny's on it. So,
Well,
yeah, that's all I got for you. Sorry.
But you have a fabulous Dr. Pepper hanging menu, probably from the 50s, I'm thinking, maybe even earlier.
15 cents for a hot dog. I think that goes back, doesn't it?
15 cents for ham salad. And then they have liverwurst, which has no price because truly liverwurst is priceless.
Well, I think that we've sort of scratched the surface here, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other wonderful little things here. And the Burger Beast Museum, tell us when you're open. And we remind our listeners that it's 2 miles from Miami International Airport at Magic City Casino.
So if you have a stopover, you can just zip on by.
Yep.
Yeah, we are open Fridays and Saturdays from 12 to 5. I'm sorry, 12 to 8 o'clock. And then on Sundays and Mondays, 12 to 5.
Perfect. And we can find out more about this at your
Burger
website?
Beast, yeah. If you go to burgerbeastmuseum.com, I actually even have a listing of every restaurant that's represented in here. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering whether I do have something from a restaurant, you remember, you can find out on there.
Terrific.
And you're going to be hungry when you leave. Gretchen, are we going to go get a hamburger after
this? I guess
this?
We got it.
Yeah, I think we do.
Thank you so much. This has been Taste of the Tropics. Thank you, Seth Gonzalez, a.k.a. Burger Beast, for giving us such a great tour. On behalf of Christina Favretto, this is Gretchen Schmidt from Edible South Florida. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Tastes of the Tropics with Gretchen Schmidt and Christina Favretto on Edible Radio. For more information, visit ediblecommunities.com. This podcast is a production of Edible Radio, all rights reserved.